wonder if we have any listeners out there that don't feel that being at home is very exciting. Why does everything have to be exciting?
Our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking again today in the studio with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd, from California. I got an interesting letter from a recently married woman, which I've been discussing with Val. Why don't you read a little bit of that for us, Val?
Okay. She says, I make a point to listen to you, speaking to my mother, every day as I fold clothes and grade papers. I teach part-time, have a 2-year-old, and a great husband. We're trying to live as a Christian couple with the Lord as the center of our marriage. It takes effort, but we're willing to be open vessels for His Spirit to touch others. Making the transition from single life to married life was difficult for me as I compared the hours of reading the Word, being involved in a music ministry, helping others, etc., to just precious little time for myself, let alone read for a length of time. I was active in a visible role to help people know Jesus more intimately, and now I help my family and the second graders I teach. I plan to stay home next year when we have our second child. How do I let go of the need to be important in others' eyes? Why is being the best I can be at home for my family not as exciting as being a good teacher or a good chairperson? Well, when she asks how do I let go of the need to be important, I think we have to acknowledge the fact that we love to have the praise of men, and we have to confess before the Lord that now we want to live for Him. At once we recognize that we don't have to have the praise of men, we don't have to be visible in the eyes of the public to be doing good works in order to feel fulfilled, but we do need to be doing what God wants us to be doing, whether it's in completely inside the four walls of our own houses. I'll read 2 Corinthians 5:9, because Paul said we should make it our ambition, wherever we are, here or there, to be acceptable to Him, meaning to Christ. And the need should be fulfilled simply in pleasing the Lord, not in pleasing ourselves or feeling good about what we've done for others. And in Colossians 3:17-23, it says, whatever you are doing, put your whole heart into it, as if you were doing it for the Lord and not for men, knowing that there is a master who will give you your heritage as a reward for your service. Christ is the master whose slaves you must be. So it is not as exciting to stay at home and be, she is still a good teacher to her second graders, but she can't be a chairperson anymore because of her responsibilities at home. But she has the Lord to give her the reward that will come eventually. And the Lord says, be not weary in well-doing, and we shall reap if we faint not. So just folding clothes at home and grading papers and serving a meal to my husband and my child can be just very simple things, but the Lord can reward us if that is the job that He has given us to do.
I think she's put her finger, maybe unconsciously, right on a real confusion that there is in the church among Christians today, which arises, in my opinion, because of a very narrow definition of the word ministry. Everybody feels very strongly that each individual should have a ministry. Well, so do I. But not if it's ministry with a capital M, and not if it's necessarily public ministry. And that's the tension that I feel in this letter. This woman has been in the public eye. She has had a job which is recognizable and admirable publicly. Mm-hmm. But folding clothes and fixing a meal for your husband are not recognizable, not public, and certainly not particularly admired.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's where we need to realize that we are citizens of another kingdom, isn't it?
That's right. We're looking for a better country.
Well, I wonder if we have any listeners out there that don't feel that being at home is very exciting. Why does everything have to be exciting? Why does everything have to be fun, fun, fun? I think we need to sort of calm down and be quiet and be humble and be prepared not to be visible. I suppose one of the most enjoyable things about going out, whether it's going out for a meal or just going out to church, or if it's going to work 5 days a week, is simply being seen. We all like to be seen, don't we? We enjoy looking in the mirror and fixing ourselves up as nicely as possible so that we can be seen. We don't go to church or downtown or to the office just to see, but also to be seen. And at home, it's very easy to get the feeling that nobody really cares how you look. And there's a sense in which your children don't really care, at least not consciously. But I look back on my own home and I think of how my own mother was always a lady and how she always looked nice. She came to the breakfast table with her hair combed and fully dressed, and she came to the supper table with a different dress on than she'd had all day. There's a great lesson to be learned about making an offering of each household task. Do you do that, Val? Do you feel as though you've learned that lesson, or are you in the process, and are you teaching that to your children?
I'm definitely still in the process. I have to ask the Lord every morning before I go meet my children or meet the duties in the kitchen to help me to do it all for Him. And one of my biggest lessons that I'm trying to learn is to practice His presence throughout the day when I'm washing dishes, to know that He is right beside me and giving me the strength to do it. And practicing His presence when I talk to the children, if I hear myself raising my voice, then I know immediately that I am not practicing His presence. And so doing little household duties, which I really love to do, in fact, I much prefer sometimes to be doing housework than actually giving attention to my children, which is a danger that one can fall into because we're so concerned about keeping a neat house or an orderly house that we forget that the children's lives are around us and need our attention. But practicing the Lord's presence when I talk to the children, when I go into Colleen's room and look at the mess that she's made and have to say, Colleen, you need to pick this up, and trying to learn to do this in a quiet, gentle, and self-controlled manner is my biggest lesson these days.
Where did you get this phrase, practicing the presence?
There's a little book by Brother Lawrence that was written back in the 15th century, I think, called The Practice of the Presence of God. And ever since I read it, it has been made real to me because I want so much to do all things for the glory of God. And I know that I can't do them unless I envision the truth that He is beside me, walking before me and walking behind me. There's a little poem and made into a little book for children called If Jesus Came to My House. And it's simply about what I would do for Jesus if He came to my house. I would give Him my best rocking chair. I would give Him my best toys. I would give Him a cup of tea in front of the fireplace. I would give Him the best apples off of our apple tree. And all of these things, I think, can be made very real to children when we talk to them about why we should keep the room neat, or why we should put away the dishes, or why we should wipe off the table nicely. What if Jesus were coming? Well, He really is with us. He's not just coming in some vague future time, but He is really with us, and He is watching our every move. He is the all-seeing God, the God who sees, and I want to be able to live that out before my children and teach them that they have to imagine and believe that He is listening to them, and He is grieved when they yell at one another or want to hit each other or want to bite each other, as my 4-year-old has tried a few times.
This Brother Lawrence that you mentioned, who wrote the little book, Practicing the Presence of God, or the book was written about him, I guess, he was a monk in a monastery, wasn't he? And
yes,
his job was in the kitchen.
And he, at first, when he was assigned the kitchen duties, he was horrified because that was the very last thing he wanted to do.
He wanted spiritual work.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of us would like spiritual work, and the Lord says He wants us to wash pots and pans. Mm-hmm. I talked not long ago, Val, with a couple who were planning to be married, and the man said to me that his wife had a gift in music. And he said, we are determined to make sure that she develops the gift of music, and we would like her to go to conservatory. Would you have any particular advice for them?
I would caution, I guess I would hope I could caution with love and gentleness that her main job now that she is married to him, or when she marries him, would be to please her husband, and to be always asking yourself, what is it that my husband needs? What can I do to make him happy, or what can I do to help him in his work and encourage him? So I would caution her to be careful that the music is not her priority in what she thinks she can be fulfilled in, but her priority should be simply loving God and loving her husband.
And possibly she can go to the conservatory and do that, but if she should have a baby, that might be a different story. And I would always, when I have opportunity to counsel a couple that's planning to get married, I would certainly say that you need to set your priorities. You wives especially realize that he and the children which God may give you should be your first priority. Then the other things can take their proper place. Thanks, Val.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.